live in a greedy little world that teaches every little boy and girl to earn as much as they can possibly, then turn around and spend it foolishly. We created us a credit card mess. We spend the money that we don't possess. Our religion is to go and blow it all. So it's shopping every Sunday at the mall. All we ever want is more. A lot more than we had before. So take me to the nearest shore. Can you hear it ring? It makes you wanna sing. It's such a beautiful thing. It's yeah. Lots of diamond rings.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is James Martinez with John Statmiller and Cashflow. Welcome everybody to this very important broadcast. We're going to be bringing in a new guest. His name is Bob Neverett. John, are you there?
I am here.
And we are going to be talking with Bob Neverett today. I think, John, we talked about him a couple days. He's probably the world's most knowledgeable media expert probably in the world right now. I'll give a little brief background on how I met this gentleman. As a lot of people know, I used to work with the late Walter Boert, and he was probably one of the preeminent researchers in behavior modification, mind control, things of that nature. He wrote a really controversial book way back when called Operation Mind Control. I formed a company with him called Semiotic Offscreen Media Arts, and what the purpose of that company was to use media to heal the masses rather than hurt the masses. And he knew I was getting involved with the credit card issue, the banks, dealing with people, educating them on that, and then reframing their consciousness so they could live in a world and survive with the upcoming changes that we're having. So we formed this company. We put a lot of effort into it, and the final analysis of that company was, and how it was going to be worked out, was going to be given to Bob Neverett to review. So because I know he's probably the best at what he does, this is why this has occurred, and this is why I wanted to introduce him on the show here as a totally different perspective on how to deal with the upcoming financial issues as well as your credit cards as well. So Bob, are you there?
Yes, James, I am.
All right, welcome. Welcome. John's here as well.
Hello, Bob.
Good afternoon for me, John.
How you doing?
Okay.
I want to go ahead, Bob, and I'll begin by go ahead and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got here, of course, and go from there. And we're going to start off real slow because I know a lot of this is going to be totally new to people, and it's going to completely change their perspective forever.
Okay, there's a newspaper headline today in New York City where I am. It says, Prophets of Doom, he makes fortune on foreclosures. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
about John Paulson, no relation to Henry Paulson.
Okay.
But above it, it says, Buddy, can you spare $1 billion?
Okay.
This is Daily News Today, the mm-hmm. day before Elvis's birthday. Actually, it isn't, right? But here in New York, we live in a different time zone, so we are a week behind everybody, so we celebrate Elvis a week later. How can that be? Well, we have a quote here in the article, Buddy, can you spare $1 billion?
Mm-hmm.
It's from John Davidson of Partner Re Asset Management. After they talk about the coming recession and probable depression and the fact that so many foreign companies are buying up the United States and Wall Street,
mm-hmm.
they ask the question rhetorically, is it a blow to our pride? John Davidson says, we ought to get over that. We're going to take a break?
All righty. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back. This is James Martinez, John Statmiller with Cashflow. Just stay tuned, everybody. This is going to be real interesting.
Yeah. heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Gasoline prices are out of control. Are you tired of giving your hard-earned dollars to the major oil companies? Did you know that the oil companies have developed special products to increase mileage in their own vehicles? Very few customers even know such products exist. SFR has obtained this technology that is backed by testing the oil companies have run. Yet they don't want you to know about them. This product is made right here in the United States and is not a typical gas treatment found at your local store. SFR lasts up to 6 months. SFR works so well that it even improves mileage on new cars. SFR recently ran this ad, and the response from all over the U.S. was so incredibly strong that we're allowing listeners to receive a free bottle when one is purchased at our regular price of $9.99. If you're not completely delighted with the savings, we'll refund the purchase price and shipping. Share the oil company's secret and get SFR now. Call 888-USE-SFR-1. That's 888-873-7371 today.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Alrighty, we are back. This is James Martinez, John Statmo. This is Cashflow. Our special guest today is Bob Neverett. Bob, continue where you were, please.
Yes, I'm quoting from Daily News Today, and it's about the story, Buddy, Can You Spare $1 Billion? Subprime meltdown forces U.S. firms to go to Mideast Asia with hat in hand. Mm-hmm. And so the rhetorical question is it a blow to our pride? John Davidson says, we ought to get over that. Instead of worrying about where the capital comes from, we should be worrying about why we need the capital. It's misplaced patriotism. Then it says, editorially, experts also caution that the foreign investments don't necessarily spell the demise of the world's financial capital. Now, I bring this up because most Americans are, quote, patriotic, and they are concerned about this situation where we seem to be being bought by Marxists and communists. But if we look at the boundaries of the medium we're involved in today, and we're on that medium, this is internet radio, the principles I use are based on the fact that whenever a new technology and the environment it creates, now the environment a technology creates, a new form of communication is technology, the environment is the previous structures and technologies the culture has and has gotten used to and are relatively cliche and routine. When a new environment is created by the new technology, it upsets, changes, and alters the relations of the old environment. So if we look at a problem here where we're being bought out by, we Americans are being bought out by apparently companies from other countries and other countries, we should look at the medium that might be the cause of this situation. That's the principle I use. Okay. For example, if I look at World War II, I say, what's the medium that led to this war? Radio. What led to the Cold War? Television. What led to the collapse of the Soviet Union? Satellite environment. What has led to the present predicament today is what we call the Internet or the World Wide Web.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I begin with, and that's what I'm going to emphasize anytime I'm on your show.
Okay, all right. So where did these models of thinking start with you? How did you learn this? Who have you consulted with? I mean, what's your history so all of us can know basically what you've been doing?
Well, having been associated with the corporate elite around the world for 40 years, in our position, we do see what's happening ahead of time because our stakes are involved in that. We need to know, and my clients need to know, and intelligence agents need to know, based on this principle that new technology will upset the present status quo, we need to know what's coming. So we're always surveilling new laboratories and new cultural phenomena to see what's happening. That's why I'm saying if New York is the capital, financial capital of the world, we're a week behind the rest of the world. We watch what the rest of the world's doing first before we make our move. So with that is the basic premise of the, we'll call them, quotes, authorities of the information age. They don't have opinions. They don't have any vested interests in property or countries or the planet. They are only interested in maintaining the stability as they see it and the interests they represent in relation to coming new environments. That is the prime activity of intelligence and public relations and what we call the information age, the elite behind the information age. So having been involved with that for so long, it's second nature for me to look at that situation today this way.
Got it. So as you see with what's going on today currently, because I know John and I have talked about all the latest information having to do with election, having to do with all these news shows are coming out now saying that now we're in a recession, and John's been saying that for a long time. I've been saying it for a long time. All these different shows about what's happening financially for individuals. What does it mean for the individual at home?
The individual.
What's happening next? Yeah, an individual at home, and you're talking about the introduction of new technologies and the big changes are going to happen financially. What does it mean for the individual at home?
Well, a new environment is going to upset the media environments they've been dependent on and gotten used to, and their identities are usually aligned with some aspect of that. The American dream is a consumerist dream, recently the last 40 years overlaid with an information-consuming dream. And to the point we got in the 90s where you had to have the latest download software or computer model to feel that you were involved, not in the dream based on hardware like buying a new car, but the dream of being able to experience whatever the web offered. So that has changed generations' identities. So the younger generation, beginning with what's called Generation X, have a different desire for what's available in this wealthy culture compared to previous generations. That sets up a conflict right there in terms of values and dedication. And if you're sitting on a computer all day long, your body's going to get weak. You're going to eat junk food. And you're not going to be motivated to maybe work in a steel factory or to work on the farm or to work anywhere.
Wow, you understand what a lot of people are doing then.
Right. Okay. So that leads to a problem for the people who grew up in the Depression. Now they're senior citizens. And then they had to deal with the baby boomers who got the first phase of that, sitting around watching TV and being couch potatoes. Now, the paradox is that television was an important stimulus for the economy. The wealth of the financial status of the United States is based on Hollywood and the products that come through the movies and TV. So people were basically paid to sit and get unhealthy to keep the economy growing. But then that conflicts with all the traditional values. That's question one for the citizen. How do you relate to the new media in relation to your identity, depending on what age you are, and how you relate to the people that brought you into the world, who relate on older media, because it speeds up faster and faster as the centuries unfolded. And so now there's a difference every, say, 10 years. That's the first question. The next question is, when the world can have television, like we have in the West from the 50s on,
right,
it means you can go anywhere in the world and the world comes to you. The size of the planet shrinks, and then you become a tourist invading other cultures with jet travel, comes in 1960. That upsets old cultures, which see these people coming with gadgets they'd never seen before. you're going to get cultural identity crisis globally as it shrinks immediately.
I see. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Now, so that what is one's values in relation to that? By this time, every culture is aware of these dynamics, having lived through it for 40 years, and so every culture is hoiking up its own historical past as a defensive image in relation to everybody else's press conferences and national boundaries and national images. So what is the United States? The United States is the only culture in the world built on the printing press. What is the archetypal book that came out of the printing press? The Bible. So it's totally natural by 1980 that the representative image for the United States built on the medium of the printing press would be the Bible. Therefore, it's a requisite that the president who represents that image through the White House has to be a born-again Christian.
Very interesting. John, are you getting this?
I am getting this. Bob, don't worry. We have the GOP replacement, Mr. Huckabee. He's going to be the new Bible-believing Christian that's going to do ungodly things to not only the American people, but to people abroad.
Yeah, now he's fulfilling the requisite image, but there is a change in the public because there is a new medium within the Internet. It's called user-generated media. MySpace, YouTube. We know how YouTube influenced the election in 2006. There's a different dynamic, and so I think it's wide open this year what the images is. I know a good part of America is still looking for the perennial image, but there's also great turmoil. You guys feel it here on this network. People are looking for a new kind of image. But the problem is, if it's political, it has to fit into the archetypal image of the United States based on the book in relation to other cultures' images. There's where we get the paralysis and problem, and the whole airtime is filled up with pundits working within these assumptions and not offering any pattern recognition.
Well, and Bob, you mentioned television, and this is, you know, I'm that television generation. I was born in 53. TV was just making its headway. They were coming out with regularly scheduled programming in the 50s. You know, I Love Lucy, programs such as that look absolutely meek and pale in comparison, but ironically, you know, some 50 years later, they're still as funny as when they originally aired. But you're right. TV, the medium itself, changed the culture. And how it has changed the culture, as you indicated, Bob, it's been a representation of those that have commercial interest, those that have a product to sell, or a message to get across. And Bob, one of my favorite inventions in the entire world, and I think it's probably the greatest invention that mankind ever came up with, in its simplicity and its purity, is the telephone. We were able to talk to people by voice, real time, anywhere in the world, as long as they had a telephone hookup. The Internet is the 21st or the 20th and into the 21st century. That's our version of the snail mail, and it's delivered almost immediately. But these are variations and improvements on existing technologies. But television itself, people were touting this back in the 50s. This is the greatest medium ever. Well, it is a good medium, but we have watched how this has been commercially taken over and for the advantage of doing profit off of this. And we have a culture, it's turned into an MTV-type pop culture. It is one that has become more of a bane to this society than it has been a boon. Commercially, it's been a great success. But intrinsically, what is it worth? And I call television, Bob, simply radio that they just added moving pictures to. The advantage to radio was that you actually had to listen with your ears, absorb the information, process it, and you weren't distracted. You actually had to listen in order to understand. You didn't have that visual wipe over that took the basic premise of the spoken word. You now been lifted off into another plane by images.
Now, there's a lot of assumptions and verbiage you pack in there that tell me a lot looking at your American experience. It is true that we are updating the telephone. Oh, we have to take a break. All right.
We do have to do that. We'll take the
right
break
back here.
Yeah, we've got Bob Neverett with us today, folks. He's going to be a regularly scheduled guest on these Wednesday programs. And we're going to get into the psychology here and the assumptions and the presumptions that Bob started to talk about. And he will continue with that thought right after this break.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
We are back. Bob, if you would, sir, please continue.
Yes. Now, you mentioned how the radio and the Internet are updates of telephone. True. But let's go back to the first electric technology that
Bob, that's not exactly what I said. I said I thought that the telephone was the greatest invention. I then said the Internet is just the later version of the mails that are instantaneous.
All right. Good. What I wanted to say is that the telegraph was the first electric environment, the first technology that became a global messaging, sending postal signals around the world. Who capitalized on that? The Rothschilds had their pre-telegraph semaphore system that allowed them to find out who won at Waterloo, and they were able to make a jump ahead in everybody in locking down certain powerful positions in financial trust funds. Certainly when the telegraph comes in, it abolishes time and space in terms of the elite because they can get around the world and communicate instantly. So the effect of the web already starts by 1860, 1870, and 1880. And that's when you have the move for the Species Act of 1879. You eventually have the Federal Reserve formed and the income tax. Those kind of actions are seen now as the one world globalists locking down control. Financial control, and then moving to make it official by having one world government. But the medium that allowed that to be possible was the telegraph. then updated by movies and telephone, but then radio came in, and radio decentralized the telegraph one world situation or potential and caused the tribalism between the Nazi groups, Goebbels, Goering, and Hitler within their own party, plus among the other groups
Rewind a second. Go back to the part where you were talking about what happened when the telephone came out overall. Go rewind just a second.
Well, I was talking about movies and telephone coming in 1900 at least. Really, as a popular experience, 1910, 1915. That's the time of Charlie Chaplin. And people are starting to use the telephone. Radio's lurking in the horizon. So you have World War One. Once you get into World War II in the 40s, that the precursor is to radio. And the radio had a different effect than the telegraph. The telegraph allowed financial people to centralize economically around at least the Western Hemisphere. But with radio, you got millions of people on the air at the same time, listening to programming, whereas on the telephone, it's one-to-one. So there's a bigger effect on the radio environment.
So it created a breakup, as you're saying.
It broke up the financial planners.
That's what I wanted to say. Okay, got it.
So there was a problem for the globalists right there. And so they broke down. A lot of the globalists we know supported Hitler. A lot of them supported Lenin and Stalin. It was all mixed up because for them it was a global village already. Global village comes in before 1900. And the poets and artists write about this at the time. But looking at the political financial effects on the population, the decentralization of the radio and the telephone environment of the 20s and 30s caused such tribal fragmentation that the global design fell apart, and then they had to have a fight. And out of that comes the so-called victor, the United States, right? 1945. Immediately they form, the Rockefellers and Donovan form the World Commerce Corporation, which buys up and creates 700 corporations to start a global economy. They were just rebuilding the structure that was given by telegraph, telephone, movie, and radio. But sneaking up on them is television, which is going to change the identities of people consuming because they can see and also feel. John, one thing about television is that you don't just see this, the cathode ray tube is going right into your brain, right inside you. A movie is light reflecting off the screen, but when the cathode ray tube goes right inside you, it's affecting your central nervous system, and therefore we don't just call it visual, we say it's tactile.
Okay.
It touches your inner scape. That is like getting a drug. Therefore, the beatniks and the pop culture becomes drug-oriented. Even in the mainstream, people start taking Valium and all those prescribed psychiatric drugs because the population is being stimulated by television more dramatically than radio, and it's reflected in different age groups and different cultural preferences. But overall, the zombification takes over from an outsider's perspective, and that alters the world globalist plan because they're dealing with a population that are zombified beyond the biggest dreams of George Orwell.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that. Finally, somebody understands like I do. No, so you're saying that the television, through that particular effect, goes into the nervous system and affects everything after that.
Well, yeah,
You can suggest things through television that may not even be true, correct?
Well, look at it this way. If you're stimulating the central nervous system, it doesn't matter what foam and content is coming over the TV. That's why, you know, quite early people called these people couch potatoes, the boob tube, all this. They knew that people were zombified by more than the content. They might have thought it was a dumbing down of the content, but it was actual massage on the central nervous system. And that's why we don't need to worry about advertising subliminally manipulating people. Usually advertising is based on cultural symbols and nostalgia patterns. That's a given. People are going to continue buying cars.
Sure.
And all the technology that America had. But underneath it is television numbing people and affecting the Rockefellers, their own children.
The issue, Bob, that I wanted to make a point about here was the cultural effect of television versus, say, the telephone and the telegraph. I'll make that point when we come back. James Martinez, John Stadtmiller, and our regularly scheduled guest now and for this foreseeable future, every Wednesday, Bob Neverett. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores, buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday, and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Yeah, Bob, what I wanted to say here about the telegraph and the telephone versus radio, these devices were generally used to transmit data or message. It wasn't until the advent of radio that it was used as an entertainment media as well, and also for advertising. So then we bring in the newly developed advertising giants. We see it and the effect of it every day on television and also in radio and radio ads. But there was a distinct difference in communications. Beforehand, the telegraph and the telephone were basically used for communication and messaging, whereas the advent of radio and television, it took this to a whole new level.
Yes, because radio was a collective thing. Everybody was now entering a new space. We have to look at the new electric environment that, I mean, the telegraph, nobody had a telegraph in their home. It was an environment for corporations and for government. The telephone started to invade people, but it was usually for practical purposes. But even then, corporations were wondering, what's the use of this? And so people used it as a party line and gossiping. So we could say that's a tribal experience for a non-tribal culture, the United States, built on the printing press, which hoiks up the values of individual initiative, individual character. And because the book is a private medium, you read it by yourself, so it reinforces a sense of individuality. More extreme effect here than in Europe. That's why the Europeans always thought that they were more intellectually superior to the Americans, because the Americans took the printing press, then added the industrial technology of steel and coal and mining and big cities, and that made America a mobile kinetic culture, what Europeans call anti-intellectual. Actually, we were anti-book, or not limited to the book. So there's a cultural difference between Europeans and Americans. But then when you bring in radio, which makes everybody share the same space, that is the most tribal, primitive environment that's a threat to the individual identity perspective of an American. So you look at radio and what it did around the world. Most semi-literate cultures went fascist, socialist, communist. They went total tribal because they didn't have that individualist literate base. But even the Americans were affected, and Roosevelt brought in a new sense of tribalism called the New Deal, where everybody should have access to the old medium of money. So money became a private property. But it's such a big space, a new landscape, you've got to fill it in with content. And so people thought it was entertainment that was filling it up. No, it was business. It was a living experience of education. Even though we might call it entertainment back then, it was something people were experiencing and never experienced, and new entertainers and new shows. It was an ongoing Encyclopedia Britannica 24/7, and that then created another kind of culture. So it's right to point out how radio is different, but don't just go by the content and call it entertainment. Look at how it is something. It's a classroom without walls, and that's what Orwell feared, but he didn't foresee what television or satellites would do, or the Internet.
Understood.
Very interesting. Let me ask you this, Bob, and this is relevant for today, and I'm watching the effects of TV and what it's doing in terms of distorting people's perceptions and so forth.
Let's not call it television. James, let's not call it television, because that's a separate medium that sat in the corner in the home. It's a floating TV among many media. I call the seamless web today.
Okay.
Call it the Matrix.
Called the Matrix. About a year ago, a lot of money was poured into a television series called Commander in Chief. It was starred Gina Davis, and it was about the first female president. And I knew when that came out that obviously Hillary was going to run. Now, as far as using the television to do that, what was that really for, and what were the media effects designed for by doing that?
Of that particular show?
Yeah, they put that out, and everybody in the business here I know is like, wow, I guess Hillary's running for office, because that was well-financed with the top writers and the top talent for that. And my thought was, well, who's financing this? Somebody wants – yeah, there you go.
But let's look at the larger picture here, where there was another woman that was being touted to run against Hillary at that time, Condoleezza Rice, and maybe even Dole, Mrs. Dole. The whole idea was that a woman would be a president. So let's not just make it particularly Hillary, because here's the interesting thing. If you look at the fact that television demanded that politics and the White House had to become an image communicating instantly around the world, therefore not just targeted to Americans, to the degree it represented Americans, it had to be very cliche. So the White House was no longer an agency of change. It was a reaffirmation of the American self-identity. And so you can see each decade had a surprising factor to fascinate people with the White House. In the 50s, you had a general. What? A general as a civilian politician? That was shocking. Then you had a Catholic, Kennedy. Then you had a guy from the South, LBJ. Then you had a sneaky mafia guy, shady lawyer, Nixon. Each one of these images fascinates the public because it never seemed the White House occupied with that kind of image. Then the next guy, skipping over Ford, who was a janitor, you have a guy from the South, a farmer. Then you have an actor, Reagan. Then you have a CIA director. Holy cow, what's he going to do to us? Then you bring a good old boy draft dodger. That causes a big problem in the image, but it fascinates people. And then when you get to the Internet age, which actually kills any meaningful exchange of data because everybody is broadcasting and receiving information, it's just chaos, you have to have the image of a president who is a non-communicator, the opposite of Reagan. But that'll be a charismatic, fascinating image. A person who doesn't read the newspaper, can't even finish a sentence, that's what we got. Now, we got President Bush, the non-communicator, but he had a certain appeal because most people were angry at the manipulation that they could see in the TV, old TV, movie, radio environment, in the newspaper environment, because they were living under the effects of the Internet, so they could see the old environment clearly, and they saw a guy who spit in the face of the old image, in the face of New York and L.A. Now, I've run through Eisenhower to President Bush, the second Bush, all men. What would be the next image to fascinate people? I think men have run the course of imagery, and now it would be either a black person or a woman. But I think the woman image is very powerful because that would fascinate people and keep the thing going, and all that president would do would not implement any new changes, just keep going business as usual, because that's all the White House can be, a representative of a museum image, while we're going to go through chaos, as we see today in the headlines, all over the world, in the real ground, the real technology of the effects of the web.
Okay, but Bob, let me back up here. If the appeal of a presidential person, a campaign, a Hillary Clinton, Mitt Romney, whomever it is, if I understand you correctly, then it is what is set in the minds of the people in the culture, and then that follows that the representation would then be shown in the White House.
Yes, that's what polling's about, to find out what the audience is into, what changes are happening. The real CIA is the advertising agencies and the Nielsen ratings. They find out what people are going through and pick an image. And so 3 years ago, people knew that a woman's image would be fascinating, so they made this Gina Davis movie. It's a projection out of the advertising agencies of LA and New York, because they're always watching what's going on. And that's the real government. Remember George Bush said to Dan Rather, 1992 president, first president, he said, "You're more powerful than me." Do you remember that statement?
Yes.
He said that during one of the debates, because Dan Rather is on there communicating to people every day. President Bush has an occasional press conference back then. So you have to look at, and you know, President Bush as a person represents all kind of corporate and intelligence interests that are based on, you could say, oil and finance, and that is an old medium that needs to adjust to the new effects. So behind the scenes, he represents what America is built on, the old America, but he has to be the image of the White House at the same time. So he's a split personality. And that's been probably the case for most presidents since World War II. Because we find out that there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes with what we'll call their chemical body, their physical body, which was totally different from their TV image body. So we got conflicted media. Now we have the Internet and YouTube, and people look at the elections, if they're even interested, as a cartoon or a ritual of abuse. They call it the blogosphere, which critiques the old major media, because it's floating all around the planet and around all the older media. And that's what people monitor. That's what conditioning them. And yet there's no conditioning going on in the Orwellian sense. It's to the degree you use the medium and how it affects you personally is the real mind control or the real problem. And most people don't have time to think about that. They just enjoy swimming in the new medium.
Right, right. They're completely distracted.
Well, this is tantamount. In your description here, it is almost as if a child that has a new toy.
Exactly. It's always been that way. Even with speech, let's look at speech as the first medium. Did we ever get speech under control? No. We can't
get... What do you mean by that? Explain that.
Well, you see that we know through history one of the cliches is that people gossip, and even religions tell you not to gossip, respect the other person. Religions came in with writing, and those solid media at that time looked back at the oral media and tried to control it, tried to get people to speak more decently. We can see that most people never follow that. They do follow it when they're in certain situations, like maybe going to church, and they speak ritualistically and respectfully. But I'm saying that speech itself never got controlled because it got subsumed by writing, and then writing got subsumed by the printing press, and then printing press got subsumed by the telegraph, and those media upset the previous media like the printing press, and then the Internet upsets TV and movies. Speech is going along like a parasite sitting on all this, jabbering away even more ridiculously. So you see that most people love speech. It's our basic medium, and we are flooded with speech today, even though it's an ancient medium, and we never really developed silence. One of the religious virtues is speech is silver, but silence is golden. There's an attempt to get a hold of the speech. We never did that, and we never got control of these new media. So we've always been children in that sense with new environments. There's science that proves this, that our brains can, our biological brains cannot adapt to what humans create. Our biological brains are adaptable to nature, but they're not adapted to what humans create, which I call the second nature.
So technology, you're saying, what is new technology do then, if that's what you're saying?
It upsets the older technologies, forces mm-hmm. them to adapt to the characteristics of the first, and usually become archetypalized. That's a big word.
Explain how it upsets, though. What are the symptoms of upset? What are you referring to?
When the printing press came in 1450 to 1500, the reigning institution was the Roman Catholic Church, which was based on speech and the manuscript, a slow medium that the average citizen did not have access to. They listened to a speech situation in the mass. You bring in the printing press where people could start to read that sacred manuscript by themselves separately and develop their own relationship to the content of the Bible. They then say, well, I don't need to listen to the speech-based religion. I'm going to create a book-based religion, hence the Protestant Reformation, which upset the whole Catholic Church and actually created nations and a whole block that the Catholic Church couldn't control, so that the speech-based Catholic Church was upset by writing. So that's something that's 500 years ago. The religions themselves, very solid up till the 19th century, started to be affected by the telegraph, because the telegraph transported people around the world and brought information to them, so they actually were acquiring the status of angels. Angels can be anywhere they want to be. We began to be that. And so therefore you have the celebration of the occult and secret societies, and that comes in with the telegraph, which is a post-verbal, post-written medium. It's an electric swimming pool. So the children start swimming around in that and having a good time and ignoring previous structures and social institutions based on writing or speech.
Yeah, the problem I've seen, and I've talked about this, not on this program, but the other show I do on the network, I've talked about this, that religion and its structure has basically ruined the Bible. Because as you stated, Bob, that was a very personal thing. You had the book, you read the word, you came to your conclusions, it solidified your belief and your faith outside of any other influences.
That was a radical change. That was the anarchist. That was a terrorist movement in 1500, that value, that situation. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's a print-based interpretation of religion. The Catholics don't have that. Actually, the Catholics, as they got industrialized, they became like the Protestants, and no difference. A friend of mine used to say, there are no Catholics in North America, because the North American Catholics are molded by industrial and electric media so different from European and other cultures
right.
around the world.
Right.
So, but it's all based on the book. Look what's happened to the 20th century. Largely, the 20th century says God is dead, Darwin is right, the Bible is a myth, blah, blah, blah. And so in the middle of the 20th century, the book-based religions were weakened, and people became, quote, materialist and consumers. They were just swimming in the new media. But why did religion and fundamentalism come back in the 80s and 90s? Because the internet changed the world differently than TV had done. TV encapsulated and climaxed the global village. But when you get on the internet and anybody can broadcast and groups can broadcast, the national images become weakened. So the national image is determined to reassert that image as an archetypal value, and therefore Americans hoik up the Bible, Muslims hoik up their Bible, and every religion, the Chinese, hoik up their communists as our national image. But nobody lives within those images in daily commerce. We live around the planet.
So when we had a resurgence in the 80s and the 90s...
In the United States, yes.
Yeah, was this a regression or a backlash and a turning back of the older ways, only in a different form?
It's in a different form. Remember, it's church on television. It's actually taking the TV medium, which was a new and upset the balance in the 50s and 60s, but it becomes what I call an archetype or a valued stage, a valued medium by the 80s and 90s, so religion goes on television and offers a new kind of religious ritual based on the content, which is a book. Now, this is where, in the way of answering James' question about how did writing upset speech? Well, we see the satellite and internet environment upset the TV situation, which was based on American values based on the book. So it's multi-leveled you get. So it's not a regression, it's a reaction. And if we can see the pattern and why these things happen, the causes, then we have more balance, calm, and tranquility in relation to it because we understand it. I would advocate if we didn't like the fact, if the atheists got in control of the White House, they might say, let's turn off the internet so people don't need to build up their archetypal American book image, and then we can relax and have less televangelism. Now, I'm not saying that would happen, but that's an example of some group trying to react and take a position. I find that taking a position into the effects, these effects are so huge, it's better to understand them than to resist them.
I want to hear your opinion on the campaigns, on how from year to year as technology changes. I know with YouTube and so forth, I want to hear your opinion and your thoughts about the campaign and what's happening now and how that's going to affect everybody.
Let's take that response to your question after the break. Yeah, because we got a guy running for the office right now that's breaking all the paradigms of the establishment's picture of what a president should be. And I think we know who we're talking about here, Ron Paul. We'll take this break, come back on the other side. We'll have about 4 minutes. Bob will finish up. And ladies and gentlemen, they'll be revisiting us every Wednesday on Cash Flow. We'll be right back.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
We'll be right back. James, you were about to get into the political aspect of all this.
Yeah, I want to hear, you know, I talk to you, Bob, all the time about various issues with technology and how people are acting with it. And now, because we're at a critical time financially all over the U.S., people, the way they're accessing information and making decisions about what's to be their next president, how are the media effects and what are the campaign people doing? What if I were running a campaign, knowing these things, what would I do differently to be effective?
Well, all the candidates we hear about, except Ron Paul, are following the true and tried, be conservative, be American, be patriotic, don't rock the boat, and put it in a Democratic or Republican archetypal party line. The reason Ron Paul is so popular is he actually reflects unconsciously the effect of the new information society, which has kind of gotten under user-generated media, where I make my own media, I don't need to listen to anybody, and I don't need to be told who the should be candidate. It's actually a very democratic effect. And only Ron Paul is feeding that desire and that new media-created impulse that I'm not going to listen to these older media. It's almost like the older media need to have their primaries held as soon as possible, hoping by February 5th they can lock it down. But they don't know that it's going to give us a long time to sit there and simmer in blogosphere and YouTube and project ourselves all over the place. We are going to take someone, an image that is outside that situation, but is trying to put it into a patriotic conflict and a patriotic resolution. So Ron Paul is up against John Davidson of Partner Re Asset Management, who says we ought to get over this patriotism, misplaced patriotism. Instead of worrying about where the capital comes from, we should be worrying about why we need the capital. Now, Mr. Davidson is not looking at the effects of the media right now. He's operating in a 90s mentality. But right now, people are king of their media. They edit and rule their own media. And someone who wakes up the values of individualism, especially for Americans, the constitutional values, like Ron Paul, is on the right track. The problem is Ron Paul should not talk about the Constitution. He should talk about the media effects, and that would really get attention, because people would then understand that's what he is and they are responding to.
Yeah, because I'm seeing how what he's done strategically thus far and how he's managed himself in front of the media. So you're saying if he were to talk about the effects of the media, it would alter the whole,
that's right,
whole scope.
He's relying too much on the verbal archetypes of American patriotism built on the Constitution and national security for people and all those things that are correct, but it's an old medium. And he comes across as deadpan and kind of not able to fight, but he shouldn't try to become the image that Hillary and them are trying to project. He can bypass them and represent the image that people are looking for, which is saying, you can't speak to us anymore because we can't listen to you. We're too busy in our own medium. So we need to get back to the basics, the American myth, the American dream, and the American archetype, which is the Constitution. That would be a passing thing. He could frame it in terms of values. The value is we're in the most American utopia situation in terms of individual creativity and expression is happening right now. We realize the American dream.
Yeah.
We just don't know how to translate back into the older baggage, the older media.
Yeah.
Ron should say, I can help make the translation and the explanation. That's what I would tell him.
Yeah, Bob, there's a lot of opportunity just on, from the political standpoint for Ron Paul, because we just saw three primaries and a different person in the Republican Party just won three different primaries. Three people won three different primaries. So it's an open game.
That's right, and there's a lot of games being played, and the people are playing games with the pollsters. They don't care about the major media. They make satire of it.
Right. Well, we're out of time. Look, this has been it's going to take me another hour to just digest the material that I just heard. But folks,
me too. I told you.
But we're going to have an opportunity to pick Bob Neverett's brain every Wednesday on Cash Flow. Glad to have him aboard. James Martinez, John Stattmiller, and Bob Neverett, thank you very much. We'll see you again next Wednesday, sir.
You're welcome. Thanks
a
lot.
Thank you. See you tomorrow, folks.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Since 19-